At the heart of South Africa's parliamentary power, there's a storm. The Speaker of the National Assembly, Nosiviwe Mapisa-Nqakula, is facing corruption charges. Are these trumped up, factional, or a serious moment of reckoning? Let's get into it. Spread the fire. Welcome back to SMWX. And if you're new around here, my name is Dr. Sizwe Mpofu-Walsh, and on this channel, we explore South African politics through interviews and analysis. Let's get right into it. Today, I want to do three things. Firstly, to break down what the allegations against the current Speaker of the National Assembly, Nosiviwe Mapisa-Nqakula, are, what they entail. Secondly, I want to talk about the cases that have already gone. This was her attempt to interdict her arrest, and what seems to be an impending corruption and money laundering trial in the future. Then I want to sit back and analyze what the impact of all of this is. What's the impact for Parliament, for the ANC, for the election, and indeed for factional battles within the ruling party? So that's how we're going to deal with today's episode. Let's get into part one, which is about the allegations, and I'm going to break down for you so that after all of this, you understand exactly what's going on around the Speaker. Okay, so what are the allegations and what are the charges? Well, you know that Nosiviwe Mapisa-Nqakula is the Speaker of the National Assembly, which is basically the head of one of the arms of the South African government. You've got the President, who heads the Executive. That's the cabinet that does stuff. You've got the Chief Justice, who heads up the judiciary that interprets the law, ultimately. And then you've got the Speaker, that is the head of the legislature, the parliament. You know, when you see all those parliamentary debates happening, the Speaker is the person who sits at the top and manages those debates, manages what's happening in parliament. Nosiviwe Mapisa-Nqakula, before she was Speaker of Parliament, she's always been a senior member of the ANC, was Minister of Defense for a very long time. And between 2016 and 2019, the allegations are that she accepted bribes in return for defense contracts. Now, that's all very abstract. Let's try and bring a human element to it. So the person from whom she is alleged to have accepted these bribes, according to a News 24 report by Karen Morn, is known as Ms. Ntsondwa Ndlovu. A really interesting story of someone who used to be a flight attendant and ultimately built up a business which is around customs and logistics, around airports and ports. So when you need to bring in goods from overseas, there's a whole customs process, right? You have to fill in a bunch of forms. You need to put those goods in warehouses, and then they need to be distributed to their ultimate points of sale, right? So this company that was set up by this person who's alleged to have paid these bribes to Mapisa-Nqakula was set up around this logistics distribution network. Now, her husband, that's Ms. Ntsondwa Ndlovu, apparently's husband, is inside the South African military. I believe he's a general or something like that, or was. So from air hostess or cabin attendant to a business person who's also married to someone in the military, who then gets defense contracts while Mapisa-Nqakula is Minister of Defense. And the allegation is that through a series of cash payments that range somewhere from the 2.3 million, possibly upwards, some other reports have had it at 4 million, but the most regular report is about 2.3 million in a number of different cash payments, this person's company was able to get contracts with the army or the defense force that was ultimately run or under whom the minister was, Mapisa-Nqakula. Now, it wasn't 2.3 million all at once. It was payments of 100,000 here, 150,000 there that ultimately added up to a series of gratifications, some of which are alleged to have happened at the airport. Now, how did we get to know this? Well, it turns out that the NPA first went for Ms. Ntsondwa Ndlovu, and there was a 100 million case against her. But she then turned state witness in what's called fancy language a section 204 witness. What is that? That's when someone says they will give information to the national prosecuting authority in return for immunity from prosecution. What does that mean in simple terms? She said, I'll give you information if you drop this case and I'll lead you to an even bigger fish. So, she claims that she has messages that implicate the speaker in these corrupt payments that she made to the speaker. So the person who gave the money has now turned state witness against the speaker and is saying, I've got the evidence and I've got the information. And that's what has led us to this point. So we have the Speaker of the National Assembly, who is facing corruption and money laundering charges for when she was defense minister, allegedly having received these cash payments in response for bribes or in response for defense contracts that ultimately did go to this company that handled logistics. And I think what they ultimately did for the defense force was they ended up transporting goods and services for the South African National Defense Force. So that's effectively the story and where we are right now. It's an interesting case of intrigue, of someone being nabbed for corruption, turning around and saying to the NPA, I've got something, I've got news for you. I can actually lead you to an even bigger case. And it's a rare moment when a very senior politician, although an outgoing senior politician, is actually facing trial while holding office as we speak. So that's what the allegations are. Let's come on to what cases we have already seen, because you may have heard that there was a court case about the arrest and whether it would happen or not, and what we can expect in terms of the court cases in future. Thanks for watching SMWX. Before we get back to the episode, I just wanted to let you know the four ways that you can help support this channel if you want to see us growing bigger and better to keep you more entertained and informed. The first way is you can invite me to speak at your company, your school, your institution. You'll see the contact details down below. The second way is that you can become a member of this channel. Become a member, or you can give us a thanks. You'll see there's like a heart with a dollar sign in the ribbon below this video. Buy me and the team some coffee for this episode. The third way you can get involved is you can advertise on the channel. Now, I'd much rather the community of viewers would be advertisers on this channel than me going out to people who don't really know about SMWX and trying to explain it to them. So if you're a viewer and you have a business and you want to partner and you love this platform, let's partner on this channel. And then finally, you can buy merchandise, you can buy books. All this is in the description down below. Now let's get back to the episode. Okay, so there has already been an interesting legal battle around this because Mabisa Nagula's legal representatives attempted to interdict her arrest. Now, what does that mean? To interdict is really to stop something from happening before it happens. So her lawyers went to court and said, we have reason to believe that the speaker is going to be arrested. We want to stop that arrest, or at least halt that arrest, so that we can understand exactly what the charges are against the client, Mabisa Nagula in this case, and also to understand exactly whether there is a strong or a weak case. They also said that their legal representative wasn't around, and so he couldn't accompany her to the police station for processing, and she had a right to have the legal representative of her choice there. So they asked the NPA to stop or at least halt this arrest until they got those certain conditions met. Now, you'll appreciate that it's not every day that when the police decide to arrest someone, and that's the police's job, the NPA will investigate and they will prosecute after the NPA will prosecute after the police investigation. They have certain investigative powers as well. But really, it's not every day that someone gets arrested and says, hold on, you can't arrest me because my lawyer's not with me right now. Now, it's true that there are two different kinds of arrests. You'll be aware that if the police see someone stealing something immediately or committing theft or some kind of violent crime, they can arrest that person there and then on the spot. But in other cases, there's an investigation that happens, there's a buildup, and then the arrest is something that only comes subsequent to that. And in those cases, there's often discussion between legal representatives about when and how that will happen. But what doesn't often happen is that the legal representatives get to dictate the timing and the pace of that arrest. That still rests with the state. And effectively, the judgment in that case said, no, you can't stop us from arresting you on the grounds that you've given. And the most interesting finding within that is that the judge in the High Court on this interdict case effectively said, look, this would open the floodgates to suspects being able to control the criminal justice system to the extent that suspects would be able to say, you can arrest me when it's convenient for me or for my legal team. And that would then set a precedent where anytime someone was investigated and they thought they might be arrested, they would quickly rush to interdict that arrest. So the court very strongly said that that interdict attempt should be rejected. It didn't add up to a heck of beans, and it was ultimately dismissed with costs, I believe. So that's what was happening with those cases. But the fact of the matter is these are all skirmishes in the buildup to the bigger trial, which seems set to take place with the speaker. So what can we expect from here? Well, now that the interdict attempt has failed, we know that very soon, maybe even when you're watching this episode, the speaker will present herself for processing and will ultimately appear before court. That's ultimately what the purpose of arrest is, right? Arrest is just a way of getting someone who is a suspect in a potential crime to court so that they can have their day and so that the accountability process within the court can start. So in the ensuing days, or it may already have happened while you're watching this, the speaker will be brought, will be processed, and will appear before court. And the first thing that will happen then, once she's in court, is that she will have the charges read out to her, and she will be made aware of, as is her right, as an accused person, to know exactly what the charges are against her, and she'll be able to then know what those charges are. And at that point, she is then formally what we call charged. This is when you have the charges that are against you read out to you, and you're made aware of them formally within a court process. Now, we'll get later to the implications of that in the ANC, because that's going to trigger the ANC's step aside resolution to the extent that it actually exists. But we'll get there later. So that's what we can expect. We can expect to see the speaker appearing before a court at some point and having charges read out against her. And then we'll have a bail application process, which is again a preliminary step before we get to the trial. So as you can see, an action corruption trial is still a while away, but we are dealing with the preliminary stages of an intense and political criminal trial involving a very high-ranking official, at least as it stands. So the bail application is going to be interesting because the state has said that they're not going to oppose bail. What is bail, effectively, right? It's when there's still charges hanging over your head, but in the interim, before the trial starts, you aren't detained. So you get to be free for a while until, you know, the trial starts and you come back to court. And only then will you, if you're found guilty, would you go to jail. So bail is kind of like a temporary freedom as the trial unfolds. Now, the speaker will, of course, be wanting bail. And the state says they won't oppose bail. Opposing bail effectively just means that the state won't really be arguing that, yes, she has to be detained and she shouldn't get bail. But the thing is that because the speaker is facing very serious charges, I think they're called Schedule 5 and Schedule 6 or Schedule 6 charges, what this means is that the bar for bail is higher than in a petty criminal case. So even if the state doesn't oppose bail, the speaker still has to meet a relatively onerous standard in order to justify why, in exceptional circumstances, she should be granted bail. So you can see that the stakes are quite high here. Although, if the state isn't opposing bail, even the speaker's legal representatives have said that, you know, they don't see any reason why she wouldn't be granted bail, but they realize that the bar is quite high. So, for example, you know, would the speaker be able to prove that she's not a flight risk, that she wouldn't leave the country? I think she probably would be able to prove that kind of thing. But she is going to have to state her case, and the court is going to have to weigh the relatively high and onerous bar and decide whether the speaker is granted bail. And of course, that amount would probably be set quite high. So the stakes are very high for the speaker at the moment in terms of even just the bail application, let alone the trial. And then what we would see, in theory, is that the bail process would happen, the speaker would get bail or wouldn't get bail, and then the trial, the formal trial, would then begin. And that's when we can expect to see things like we see in the AKA trial or the Senzo Meiwa trial, where witnesses will be called, they'll be asked to testify, evidence will be brought before the court to justify the charges. And remember, the burden is always very high in a criminal case. You have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the person is guilty. So even though the speaker will be in a very difficult position throughout the trial, the onus will be on the state and on the NPA, not just to prove that it's probable, but that beyond reasonable doubt that the speaker is guilty of these very serious charges. And so therefore, the burden will be on the NPA, and the spotlight again will be on the National Prosecuting Authority to see whether they can back up much of the claims that we've seen in the media with a strong and virtually irrefutable case. Of course, that's what would happen in theory. What we've seen in practice is that the speaker will probably attempt to try all avenues and all kinds of means to use every right in the book to possibly delay the trial. So we can see that, you know, the speaker may use different kinds of tactics to delay this trial. So exactly when the trial starts, you never know, because we never know exactly what legal maneuvering could happen before the trial begins. But in theory, after bail, the trial begins, pleading, witnesses, and then of course there's a verdict. And of course, we know how long trials themselves can take. So don't think this is going to be a very quick thing necessarily. This will be a long, drawn out process. And as if we don't have enough high profile trials in South Africa, we will have yet another courtroom drama to hold our breath to gasp at and to watch unfold before our eyes. So hopefully this will give you a sense of exactly what's happening with the speaker, what the allegations are, what the court processes are that are about to unfold. Let's take a look at the analysis and why this matters, what the implications are politically, what it means for the election, for the ANC, and how this could spill into other political dramas that are unfolding in South Africa right now. Okay, so let's get into the implications. And the first thing I want to talk about is something I've already alluded to, which is the National Prosecuting Authority's credibility. Now, a lot of people have thrown shade on the National Prosecuting Authority, the NPA, for failing to really get to grips with senior corruption matters. You'll remember the Zondo Commission, you'll remember the state capture allegations, and the fact that various senior politicians, both in government and out of government, have been accused of serious and grand corruption. And yet, in 5 years, really the NPA has done very little in terms of senior prosecutions. Now, it's true that the NPA has some former politicians that are facing trial. We know that former President Jacob Zuma is facing trial. We know that former Secretary General of the ANC, Ace Magashule, is facing trial. But in terms of senior people who are actually powerful right now in the government, cabinet ministers, the president himself, deputy president, any kind of high position like that, this is actually one of those rare moments where someone who is powerful and currently holds a very powerful position, maybe not for long, and we'll get onto that too, actually faces the prospect of a criminal trial. And the NPA, of course, has taken some matters to court, and it's been embarrassed in the Machela Koko matter. Check out my interview with him on this channel. We know that the NPA ultimately failed in an embarrassing way and suffered a serious setback that dented its credibility. We know in the Nulane case, also related to state capture, they tried to bring a case and they just didn't have enough to really sway that case. So This is a big moment. This is a denouement for the NPA and whether they can put their money where their mouth is when it comes to being able to not just bring charges, but actually successfully prosecute a case in a high-level corruption matter. And if they can do that, that will strengthen their credibility. And if they can't, it will severely undermine their capacity to bring corruption matters to trial successfully. So there's a lot at stake for the NPA. There is a lot at stake for the speaker. Will she remain the speaker? Well, we know that she already has said that after the election, she's stepping down. She's not on the ANC's candidate list. She's already been a very senior politician and a minister for a long time, Minister of Defense. Her husband was also Minister of Defense. So the question really is, what happens in Parliament now? There are three possible scenarios. One is that the Speaker resigns of her own volition. The other is that there's a motion of no confidence that has already been tabled by the DA that either succeeds or fails against her. And the third option is that ANC internal processes will mean that she will have to step aside anyway. So let's take a look at this, right? If the speaker resigns of her own volition because she knows she's going to be brought before a court, then assuming we'd have the acting speaker step up, but she would have at least preserved in some ways her credibility and protected the integrity of the office by saying, look, I'm not saying I'm guilty, but I understand that the allegations brought against me have caused a cloud. I intend to clear my name, but in the process of clearing my name and in defense of the sanctity of the office, I will resign. Now, many have begun to call for her resignation, but I get the sense that the speaker feels aggrieved by what's happening to her and feels that there may be factional interests that are behind her arrest. With so many people accused of corruption, why her and not someone else who's in the cabinet? Some might venture to suggest that she thinks she's found herself on the wrong side of President Ramaphosa and his faction within the ANC. And they did have a falling out after the July unrest, where President Ramaphosa characterized what happened in Durban and in KwaZulu-Natal and in the corridor, economic corridor, from KZN to Gauteng. He said it was an insurrection. And the speaker said, no, it wasn't. And that embarrassed the president. And soon after that, we saw her being removed as defense minister and being redeployed into the role of speaker. Now, in the ANC, there's so many nice jobs going around that, you know, you can be demoted to speaker, which is one of the highest positions in the country. But it did seem that there was a falling out between the president and Mapisan Ngakula. And although they did try to patch up that relationship, and although she did try to move to clarify her remarks, it did seem fairly obvious that behind the scenes, there was a falling out between the president and Mapisan Ngakula. However, she ultimately defended Ramaphosa when the Palapala matter came to parliament. So it seemed like the two had in some ways patched things up, because she was defending him. He was the one who was now accused, and she was behind the ANC closing ranks around President Ramaphosa and Palapala. However, now she's the one who stands accused. And so you can see that in her mind, she may be feeling as though there are nefarious interests at play. And whenever there is a corruption case, no matter where it is in the world and what time it is, you will always hear the accused say that this is a political conspiracy. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. And the fact is that we don't have the evidence right now. But I'm fairly sure that she feels that there is a conspiracy behind her at this moment and not others. Why me? Why now? is a question that she's probably asking. And it's a question that we should all ask, not to be swayed by any one narrative. It's very appealing when you see finally a powerful politician being brought to book by the state. It's something we've all been waiting for a long time. But we shouldn't allow ourselves to be swayed by the fact that there could also be ulterior political forces at play. They always have been in the case of high-level political corruption cases. So that's probably where the speaker's mind is. And I hasten to add that she has said from the outset that she's innocent, that this case is particularly weak and flimsy, and she doesn't believe that there's anything to these charges. So that should also be noted and said. So that's in terms of her future. Now, Parliament is interesting because if she chooses not to resign, what happens with this motion of no confidence brought by the DA? Let's assume that the motion is brought, as it must be, and that Parliament doesn't find a way to try and kick it into the long grass and after the election, which I think would be a mistake on Parliament's part. They didn't have a problem with speeding things up for Busisiwe Mkhwebane, who was right at the end of her term. They didn't have a problem speeding things up for John Thorpe, who was impeached. All of those could have been kicked and moved, and no, the important thing there was urgency and accountability. So when it comes to the Speaker, we should see the same energy, right? But when it comes to the ANC and Parliament, we've learned that, let's just say, hypocrisy runs rampant. So let's assume that this motion of no confidence is brought. What would the ANC do if they can't convince her to resign? And if, let's say, she hasn't come to court and faced charges so the step-aside thing can't kick in? What if she just doesn't step aside and she goes in to face the motion of no confidence? Would the ANC recall her before? As we've seen the recalling of presidents. Will we see the recalling of a speaker? Or will they defend her? Don't rule it out. ANC has defended former President Zuma, President Ramaphosa. They've defended their own. We know in Parliament the ANC defends its own, no matter what it seems. They could defend her in that motion of no confidence and say, no, we're not going to let the DA dictate to us. And then it would be very interesting because it would be right before the election, the ANC would have this difficult choice to make. Of course, if she faces charges and is called to step aside and she steps aside, then the ANC internal processes will kick in. So we have an interesting drama playing out right on the eve of an election, which is going to put the ANC in a very difficult position as it's trying to send this message that it's getting serious about corruption. It will have to show what it really means if someone is facing these allegations and, of course, these charges. Ultimately, for the country, as I say, this is a rare moment when a senior person goes on trial. And I think we just need to not panic. Let's allow the justice system to play out. Let's allow the independent judiciary to do its work. None of us have seen this case. None of us know the evidence yet. None of us know the strength of the case. Yes, there have been leaks to the media. Don't be swayed by media leaks, because people always leak things to the media with an agenda. And we'll have to see the strength of this case. And if there is a strong case, and if there is incontrovertible evidence, and if that is enough to sway an independent judge, then as a country, we may see a first successful corruption prosecution. But we must also leave open the possibility that the NPA doesn't have a solid case, that it won't meet the beyond a reasonable doubt threshold. And as a country, we should keep an open mind in this situation, also understanding that there are always political dynamics at the heart of legal dynamics, and that the criminal justice system itself is ultimately deeply intertwined with political appointments, which trace back to party battles. So Let's have a look at how this court process unfolds. Like, share, and subscribe to SMWX because this is the best place to follow politics for this election. Let me know what you think down in the comments below. Let's have a great conversation down there. Do you agree, disagree with anything I've said? What are the different scenarios you've seen? I know we have some great lawyers who watch this channel. Help us understand the criminal procedure that we are likely to see. Help us understand what we could see, what scenarios could play out, what could happen in Parliament. All the great political analysts in the comments. Let's continue to deepen our conversation and our understanding of South African politics. Spread the fire and keep it locked on SMWX. Aye.